Hey, welcome to Flop Era. My name's Alexander Stern, and I'm here with
Jordan.
and today's show is gonna be an interesting one. We're sitting here in silence, in isolation, for a multitudinous reasons. For me, the primary being the coronavirus. What about you, Jordan?
I am at home in the great state of Florida. All my friends are at college, so that's kind of been the case for the last couple of months.
But you've been to college before, right?
Yes, and I was in a similar situation. So we're going to talk about that. So among the topics today, that Alex is kind of dancing around, we're going to talk about our collective fumbling of the public health bag. We were really there. We all getting vaccinated. It's really looking up, and everybody decided to risk it all for Miami. So we're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about Chicago because I'm hearing that there's some foolishness going on campus. And to be honest,
Foolishness.
we need to confront it. We need to confront it. So we're gonna talk about that too. Other topics, making the music not bop. This has been one of the recurring questions that me and Alex and the rest of our friend group have pondered. Music, oftentimes it's good, and oftentimes that good music is made by terrible people. So where do we draw the line? When do we go out of our way to make the music not pop? And is it possible to kind of consume music in that way in an ethical manner? That's a real question. Other topics. We're gonna have another. I think this is like our second time or second or third time coming to this topic, but like a discussion about representation in politics, in government. And what it says about our politics, where we're going, et cetera, et cetera. And there should be some other stuff in there. We're kind of figuring it out. So Alex, is there anything you would like to add before we go to our first song?
Just stick around and see what happens. See what surprises arise.
Yes. So this is our first song. This is Michaela Corridor by Bass.
Dream a winding corridor, loose.
We're back. And somebody needs to get me a toilet, Jordan. Someone needs to get me a toilet because I'm pissed, Jordan.
There was an interesting way to lead into that. But why are you so upset, Alex?
I'm pissed because we just, Monday, UChicago came out a stay-at-home order. A seven-day, I don't remember, maybe it was 7 days, seven-day stay-at-home order. And we're so back in another
question, question. Yeah. So why are we framing this as like a stay-at-home order? Is this like a don't leave your dorm room order? Like what's going on?
Yeah, I should have stolen one of the signs off the wall. Basically, it's a strongly encourage you to stay in your room and only leave in order to do essential activities, which that's subjective, but go to the dining hall. Yeah, that's kind of it. You're not supposed to see people. All in-person classes are closed. Labs are closed. Libraries are closed. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So why has this happened?
There's a great city in the great state from which you come. Mm-hmm. And I suspect that some shenanigans were happening over spring break in that lovely, lovely destination.
Mm-hmm. So we are talking about Miami. What does Miami have to do with the situation in Hyde Park, Chicago? Elaborate on that.
Yeah, you know, the Wright brothers and their planes, they really did something with those. Because planes are too freaking fast. It should not take 2 or 3 hours to get to Miami from Chicago. Because, like, I would, like, finish my last essay, check my phone, and there are already people on Miami Beach. Already people in Sarasota. Already people in Puerto Rico. Already people in Palm Beach. Like, it's literally settler colonialism of that entire area of the world that happens during spring break. And you saw, Jordan, you saw the streets were live in Miami. They were crazy in Miami.
Yes, so I think we all saw it. I think we were going to have to at some point elaborate on the relationship between UChicago and Miami. Mm-hmm. But needless to say, I mean, we all saw the news reports. We all heard about the curfew. This was a couple of weeks ago now, but I think it's relevant because, you know, we really are, as I said earlier, fumbling the public health bag. You know, it's almost over. So they would lead us to think, the public health experts. People are getting vaccinated at an incredible pace. I think it's 1 in 4 U.S. adults are currently vaccinated now. Vaccines are becoming increasingly widely available. Initial concerns over vaccine hesitancy seem less important, although we will
except
see
it among more white Republican men.
Good point. We'll leave that discussion for another time. But yes, it's the challenges that were initially thought seem to not be as challenging Yes, and so we're you know, we seem to be coming on the edge of this. And what the world looks like when we come out of it is still to be established. But, you know, like it's we're almost sick. But in the past couple of weeks, people, I think, have gotten really excited by that prospect and have adopted the position that, like, the pandemic is over before it's actually over. And so that's why we saw the streets of Miami alive and had to be put under like curfew and all of this. And
I think 8 p.m.
Mm-hmm. And I think that this relates to what Alex is getting at. But one of the most disappointing things was to see some of my classmates there. If you were from New York City, if you were from Boston, if you were from Los Angeles, there is no reason for you to be in the city of Miami, in the state of Florida. That's a couple thousand miles. Like during a pandemic, no. And it really is embarrassing for y'all. It's not embarrassing for me. I don't believe in the house. That's y'all. And so I'm really disappointed. There were people who I thought better of, who had on their Instagram stories. And what I think is really profound here is like the lack of shame. Like you know, if the day before you have like national news stories about how Miami Beach has to be put on curfew because people are don't know how to act, and then you're still posting your Instagram story from you in Miami when you're from the Northeast, when you're from New England, like obviously you don't need to be there, and obviously you're not there most of the time. Like it's really astounding, which I guess kind of factors into what's going on in Chicago. So Alex, do you want to elaborate on the situation a bit?
Yeah. So there was a pilgrimage of you Chicago students to Miami. And I remember, I was like, I'm not Sanjay Gupta, but I do have a little common sense. I was like, this is going to be bad. The stay-at-home orders at U Chicago, at least, are always, like, minimally enforced. And the people who really don't follow them are the people that went to Miami. So what happened is you basically had a bunch of people go to Miami, get the virus, come back, and spread it for a week. And then over the weekend, there was a frat party, AE Pi, and 50 cases in 48 hours they've detected. And what really is like abhorrent about what happened is that now there are people who are being tangentially affected that didn't go to the party, that were not in Miami, and that are like frustrated because like viruses work, they are contagious, and innocent people get implicated. So it's really frustrating to me because I think empowerment has gone too far. We can talk about this another time, but when I see, like, you are too, it's, the pride is just too much. Like, you should not feel like an activist because people are deriding you for going to Miami and being a super spreader. Like, you should not suddenly, like, I don't know, like, take up arms, like, what happened to being ashamed? What happened to being embarrassed? Like, what happened to our culture? Like, be embarrassed. Quit commenting on stuff like being proud of yourself. Hide.
Mm-hmm. And I think that this factors into discussions that we've had, because when I was on campus, a similar thing happened, although on a much smaller scale. So I was at the university that I attend, Yale University, this past fall. And in the last week, because of Halloween parties, there was an outbreak in like three residential colleges, and we got put on lockdown, which was, I guess, dismaying to me, because I was in bed by midnight on Halloween. It was one of those things that's like, well, I'm not out here. So that was kind of frustrating. But me at the time, me and Alex kind of got into a tussle because in the weeks prior, I had seen a party. And, you know, it was definitely out a protocol. They were a good 30 people, and it wasn't like I had gone looking for a party to, you know, report. I was walking into my college, and they had the windows wide open. All of York Street could see that they were having a party with like 30 people in a suite when the regulations say that you should really only have 10. And so, you know, I. And as I do, I consulted with my friends, Alex being one of them. And I was called a cop for wanting to report this party. I was called a cop. And that hurts. That hurts a lot. I do not like cops. But what I was trying to do was contribute to the culture of shame that was necessary for us to get through this pandemic without issue. Because I think and it was interesting to see the discourse in the summer before we went to school. People were talking about how much they were going to be keeping each other accountable, how, you know, if you're partying, I'm telling, like people were about that life. But we get onto campus And everybody switches up, including Alex.
You're right.
I think it's interesting because the reality is that we have not been operating in such a culture of shame. People have been partying. People have been breaking COVID regulations all semester. And most people do it and there's not really an issue. But the issue is when there is an issue, then people get upset. Let me clarify one thing.
I've not gone to a party. That's not what he's talking about. He's specifically talking about me not snitching on people for it. Just to clarify.
I'm talking about him calling me a cop. And that really dissuaded me because it made me feel like, well, maybe I'm the bad guy. Maybe I'm out here being unreasonable. Really, no! It's a pandemic! It's a pandemic!
Yeah.
You can have 10 people in a room. In hindsight,
you did the morally correct thing. I'm glad that you you stuck it to your intuition.
Mm-hmm. I am outing myself as a cop here. So, if you did have a party at Yale University in the fall 2020 semester, it may have gotten broken up on my behalf. I apologize. No, I don't apologize. It's a pandemic.
We switched so up real quick as a culture. Like, I saw a tweet yesterday and it was, how are your anti-racist book clubs going? We switched up so fast as a culture. We can talk about that another day, but...
No, Robin DiAngelo has already collected the bag, so it doesn't even matter at this point. It doesn't even matter because she knows there are millions of dusty white fragilities sitting on the bookshelves. Ooh, okay. So I want to return to this. Because we're gonna go on to a discussion about Greek life. But I think we're gonna play a couple of songs. I think this is gonna be a twofer. So here we have She Live. This is Maxo Cream featuring Megan Thee Stallion. But then we're also going to play another song right after that. This is called Kingdom Come. It's by Red Velvet, which is a wonderful K-pop group. Probably my favorite. And we'll be back.
Nikki like Safari, red bone and red Ferrari, sneaking, geeking off that Molly, cute face, I bought her body, we hit Follies, we hit Onyx, she hit Magic on Monday, G5, V Live, she live and making money.
I need a baby with some money, big diamonds and riding foreign, Gucci purse, I pack his pistol, these bitches can't get this issue, he a bunch, just like Nino, I need me a Al Pacino, G5, V
Tina, dark skin Keisha, hood bitch, she gon' set it off like Latifah. Bad bitch down in Miami like Trina. Bougie bitch, only ride Benz or Beamer. Bitch like Katrina, tell me have you seen her? Hurricane pussy so wet, call FEMA. Bad lil' Tina, shit, she ain't Rita. Daddy be the plug for me on the gasoline. She hit the road with them bundles. She get the bag and she blow it on bundles. I be her back in and fuck up her frontal. And you know how I'm coming. It ain't about the bag, then you know she ain't coming. Little bitch, she dumb at finessing them dummies. Little nigga fucked up and thought he was fucking. She tricked the trick and she bought me the money. I need a Nikki like Safari, red bone and red Ferrari. Sneaking, geeking off that Molly. Cute face, I bought her body. We hit Follies, we hit Onyx. She hit Magic on Monday. G5, V Live. She live and making money.
He need a stallion just like Megan. Booty real big old titties. Houston hottie, natural body. I want it and he gon' buy it. Cause I'm freaky and I'm loyal. He love it so I get spoiled. Work that tongue just like a serpent. I'm making his toes coil. I'm the bad bitch all these niggas be dreaming about. Come over, welcome me in with an open mouth. He wanna get with me cause he know what I'm about. She tried to fuck on my man and she hoeing out. I need a boss, I need a kingpin. I need designer pajamas to sleep in. I need a bae with some hang to go deep in. Real bitch with good pussy, street nigga weakness. Young tennis snow real hard on the hoe. Break that nigga till he go broke. I don't wanna eat or I don't wanna chill. Cause a bitch like me ain't missing no meals. Take me out for a ride on the yacht. Keep me a cup for the yak on the rocks. Put six rings on my finger like Jordan. If you can't afford it, then I ain't the bitch.
I need a Nikki like Safari, red bone and red Ferrari. Sneaking, geeking off that Molly. Cute face, I bought her body. We hit Follies, we hit Onyx. She hit Magic on Monday. G5, V Live. She live and making money.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. We hope you enjoy listening to She Live by Maxo Cream featuring Megan Thee Stallion and Kingdom Come by Red Velvet. Shout out to all my Korea boos out there. Get help, just like me. We need it. And we're going to continue our conversation about Greek life specifically, because at least in the case of UChicago, Greek life was the medium through which the virus spread. It was the vector, let's say.
Mm-hmm. So I feel like Greek life is having a time, especially last summer. That was interesting to watch, because historically, and I think this will lead into the discussion, but historically, Greek life has been very white, very economically exclusive, you know, very often racist, let's be honest. And so right now, I feel like it kind of operates in, it's in a state of transition a bit, because you have these generally liberal and, you know, quote unquote woke college campuses, of which I think UChicago is probably a lesser example, but you still have the dominant cultures. Like we care about bigotry and exclusivity, et cetera, at least nominally. And So you have these, like, these quote-unquote woke college campuses, and then you have these very historically unwoke institutions. And so how do they kind of reconcile this? And I think you have the, what is it? Is it Oak at UChicago? Which you have a bunch of attempts to kind of rebrand certain frats into, you know, social groups that basically do everything that frats and sororities used to do, but like put out some, like, and this is a cynical reading, but they do that all, and then they, you know, post the infographic about, you know, how racist Greek life historically was. So I'm thinking of at Yale, there's like a there was formerly this one frat, I forget the name, I think it was SIGAP. They did something racist. They disaffiliated from the national, and they had to rebrand as Eden. I may be getting this wrong, but it's a co-ed social society or whatever, but they basically do the same things. And they are also, in the spring semester, they were also responsible for an outbreak at Yale, although I'm not on campus, but the students on campus didn't have to go on lockdown because I think that was relatively contained. But Alex, how is this kind of dynamic playing out at UChicago, especially in reference to COVID and your current lockdown?
Yeah, it's so interesting to me because with social media, there are so many ways for students to express their grievances. And right, you have a good bit of students on different sides. So yesterday, members of AEPI marched down University Avenue. I don't remember what they were saying in the video. My friend sent me a video because she lives in Bihar and she was an eyewitness to it. So I've seen the footage. But we're basically frustrated that they got COVID and that they spread it to everyone. I literally don't understand. So they decided they were going to all, like, make sure that they all had it by congregating together and marching. I don't know. But I also went to the college council meeting where students were expressing what they think should be done about the incident. So you have people who are looking on a very wide scale saying Greek life at UChicago needs to be abolished. The university doesn't formally recognize Greek life, and in that way, it can't police Greek life. So, for example, we're all on lockdown. The people in the frats can do F all. Like, that's what really sucks. So we're all locked in our rooms because of what people who live off campus were doing. And they're still free. There are people who are saying, no, there shouldn't be punishment. I don't believe that punishment is an effective way to respond to things like this because it will only drive the bad behavior more subterranean. It won't actually address the bad behavior. And then there are people who are saying you need to punish these people and expel them. And it is 1:30 in Chicago. So before we continue the conversation, I want to remind everyone, in case you forgot, I hope not. I would also see a doctor for that, that were the case. This is Flop Era with Alexander Stern and Jordan Jenkins. And I want to know what you think, Jordan. Do you think that these fraternity bros should be punished?
Mm-hmm. So the discourse about COVID campus restrictions has gotten really dumb. Because you have this, like, insistence on, like, actual, like you were saying, grievance, but also, like, the idea of persecution, that, like, being held accountable for your social behavior at the time in which social behavior is incredibly important, like, it's a pandemic, what you do affects my life, even indirectly, you know, like, it's not, you can't kind of, I think, I'm taking a course on this, but like the idea, the liberal idea of like total individual liberation from all, you know, outside deliberation. I think that's the pandemic is testing that a fair amount. And I think, you know, well, so, because it doesn't actually work when you live in a society. And so I think at Yale, especially, you hear like a lot of the like, oh, this is, you know, being held responsible for spreading COVID around in a university and in a city that has a lot of people who are, you know, chronically at risk and who, you know, aren't economically privileged and all that. It's seen as, you know, an act of persecution, but no, actively universities have, I think, many tools for enforcing. Like, first of all, it's a community that you voluntarily enter into. You don't have to go to school in Chicago or Yale or any of these institutions. You could go to one of the state schools where everybody's doing FL and nobody cares, and every, like, half the school has had COVID. You know, FSU, I'm looking at you. And so you voluntarily enter into this community. I think the university should, you know, if you party off campus, I think that there should be academic consequences, because, you know, like, in the idea that, like, well, you can't be held accountable for what happens off campus, that's absurd. Like, no, if I go and smoke crack and I get, you know, pulled over or whatever because I was driving high on crack and EL sees that on my, you know, record, I'm getting kicked the F out. And so it's just, and again, I think that this is a testament to who's doing the party. Who's in AEPA?
I feel like we shouldn't get into this territory because it's, so I think it's a Jewish fraternity, but at UChicago and most schools like UChicago, so like Yale too, there are like very direct ties between like the people who fund the dorms, the people who make regular donations, and these frats. So while they're not formally associated with the school, it's very likely that, let's say, a frat disbands, that it would upset a former brother, sister, I don't know,
who gives what I was trying to get at is that the people who I think, and this isn't the case all around, because unfortunately, as we saw in Miami, there are a lot of there are a lot of Black people who aren't, you know, on the rules. But I think especially in the college campuses, and especially we see the most grievance discourse, it's from kids who are, you know, and if you're in frats, and typically you are richer than the average, because frats are expensive. And so I think that kind of factors into it. So like, what are the things that are being considered at UChicago?
Yeah,
I guess, in response to this occurrence, and kind of how is that discourse playing out? I know you sent me some of like the confessions page posts. A lot of them are done as, I'm censoring myself. So
So the principal one that was mentioned in the meeting, and I think what the college council was like really pushing was for there to be a freeze on ad drop for the people who attended the party. And a lot of people were saying, well, the people who attended the party probably don't give an F about ad drop, and that's like not a real punishment. There was talks of like restricting access to like on campus, like resources like libraries and gyms. But, you know, it's really difficult because, like, the idea of expelling someone is taking away their housing. And while, and this is something that they talked about in the college council meeting, while maybe you could make the argument that the majority of people in frats are upper income and have stable housing, there are probably a couple of students that would be pretty adversely affected if they were suddenly like removed from campus in that way, or removed from Hyde Park in that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I, because I mean, I understand like the language about housing, but I'm like, I feel like there are mechanisms by which the university can actually, I don't know. So it's difficult, because I feel like we, and I apologize If you can hear a lawnmower, because it is right outside of my room. But it's difficult because you want to have a discussion of like, well, you know, I feel like too often, you know, we kind of prescribe to punishment, and what does that say about like our carceral impulses, all that. But like, I feel like there needs to be methods of accountability in a pandemic, and we're coming to the end of the pandemic. So whether or not there is, you know, like what is the marginal benefit of us, you know, going in on enforcing those kind of regulations and kind of pursuing those punishments now, you know, that can be set. Like the pandemic has already progressed. People haven't been following regulations for months and months, and we are living with the consequences. But I don't know. I just wish that there was a way to kind of encourage social responsibility coercively, especially among people who are privileged and have historically not necessarily seen like the carceral end of our tendencies towards punishment. And you know, like we talk about like, oh, do we want to, you know, sort of punishment? Is that productive? Is that, you know, playing into something bad? But like what that discussion I think needs to confront is that no, actually for a lot of people, we don't have, you know, carceral impulses. Like a lot of people have been explicitly like saved, and a lot of times it's, you know, rich white people who populate frats and sororities and on elite college campuses. And so yeah, I think there are a lot of considerations. That's kind of my cynical opinion, but
you're not cynical, because last night I was on Instagram and I had back-to-back stories of people, likely people who were attending frat parties at bars last night in downtown Chicago. Our next song that we're gonna play is Your Teeth and My Neck by Kali Uchis. Hope you enjoy.
Yeah.
And we're back. This is Flop Era.
Day to night to morning, keep with me in the moment. I let you had a known it. Why'd you try to cancel me, bro?
So that was Alex's way of introducing our next topic. You know, we've been a little, I feel like this has been like one of our spicier shows. You know, the frats are not going to like this one. The chronic partiers, they're not going to like this one. But they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it, but it needs to be said. It needs to be said. If I'm going to do one thing, it's be right. So now we're going to be right on another topic. Or I don't know if I can be as right, because I feel like this is a moral gray area. So Alex was singing Doja Cat. Do you want to elaborate on why Doja Cat specifically?
Because I tried. I did a little Doja Cat. I did a little Lent of Miss Cat. Try not to... Okay, I'm going to give you the really quick progression. Try not to listen to her music at all. Sick. Try to only pirate her music. I was going on debris.org. Only listening to her music. Just too hard. Who has the time? I'm back on Spotify listening to it. And this was all from the... I don't know if I was going to say this on air. The Didn't Do Nothing controversy. In which she made a song that was derogatory about Black people, as well as, I'll say, genuflected and played on racial stereotypes to seduce white men in chat rooms. And she was promptly canceled for it. Now, it's something about the music.
So question. Didn't it come out that she didn't, she wasn't actually in the racial chat rooms? I'm a bit cloudy on the details.
I mean, I saw videos, but the beauty of the conversation is that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because I cannot make the music not bop.
And so this, yeah, wait.
Yeah, I'm mentally, I just need it. I need the music. It's mental health. And there are plenty of artists that are, I feel like every artist has a reason why they shouldn't be listened to. And some artists, just their music hits a special spot. What about you? Do you have an artist like that, Jordan?
Mm-hmm. So I have multiple. You know, I do, from time to time, listen to Tay-K, who you may or may not know. Tay-K, he's a rapper. I'm not sure where he's from. I think somewhere in Texas, like 16, 17, kind of blew up.
Where is he now?
This isn't funny. Prison, because he, I think, committed a deadly home invasion? Again, don't quote me on these details. But anyway, he murdered somebody. Multiple people, maybe. And I think that's where his hit song "The Race" came out of, because he was actually on the race, you know, against law enforcement after going on the run after his crimes. So obviously, different degrees. But I think it's interesting. It's not interesting, but it poses a moral conundrum, because, you know, where do you draw the line? Because let me say something. I don't listen to R. Kelly. Because
That's a line I did draw. I don't listen to R. Kelly either. And if I listen to Ignition, it's through debris.org. I might get pulled up there. Pirate your music if you don't want to support the artist financially.
I miss Ignition so much. I really do. But I don't listen to R. Kelly because I'm like, I don't want my streams, my cents, to be going to his bail fund.
I don't want R. Kelly's Whopper to be funded by my Spotify streams.
So that's kind of the logic. But how come I can, you know, tolerate KK, who did commit murder? I think it is relatively uncontroversial to say, but not R. Kelly. And it comes to the question of like where you draw the line. And also like, I don't know, sometimes music is just good. And it's like, you understand like this person's bad, whatever. But like, you know, like it's like music, like, you know, can we separate the art from the artist? Is that possible?
No, especially, and that's the problem, right? Like, I don't think you can, like Harry Potter canceled. Harry Potter's canceled.
Well, I feel like, and because I also canceled Harry Potter, and you have to understand that was like hard. No, it wasn't hard for me because there was a time where I was, do they call them Potterheads? Anyways, I read like all the books in third grade, and then I watched movies, and then my sister got a job at the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, and so I like got a wand. I was in it. And I even went to like a convention. Well, let me not talk about it, but anyway,
one of your eras, there was a time,
one of my eras. And I, you know, when J.K. Rowling started her nonsense, I was like, okay, I don't care anymore. But I think that was because it had gotten bad. That, so I could excuse that. Like, for example, like, you know, prior to her going full tour, she had, you know, released The Crimes of Grindelwald, the second movie in the Fantastic Beasts series, and it sucked. It was bad. And so I was able to say, like, I don't really care. Let me block her and not financially support her.
Yeah.
So is it
right? I think I got it. A book is different, right? Because I don't, maybe this is a personal thing, but for me, songs are short, they're easily digestible. You can just pick a song up and swallow it. And to not be able to do that is so much more difficult than to just not be able to consume like a 300, 400 page book. It's so easy to say, I'll never read a Harry Potter book again, than to say, I'm not gonna like eat this little morsel of yumminess that makes my day in the form of like a Tay-K song or a Doja Cat song.
I don't know why Tay-K specifically. There's something infectious there. And I remember I had this very explicit memory of when I was in London and I was with my best friend, Jackson Hubers. We still need to have him on the show one day. And we were waiting for a bus in the financial district. It was like 10 p.m. And he was like, have you listened to this song? It was Tay-K's Hard. And I don't know, just something about that memory. It's like, and like, also like, I feel like his music has a very, like, something about it. It's attractive. I do listen, even though I try to stop myself. Like when I play it so often that it appears on my daily mix, I get scared. I'm like, oh no. Cause I try to limit myself. But I guess, you know, it just gets to like the general question of like, and I think it's difficult because so many people have gotten canceled for so many things. And understand, so has anybody who has actually gotten canceled, like, actually seen, like, a drop in their monthly listens? Like when Doja, like, when the initial thing with Doja Cat and the racial chat rooms happened, did she, like, see a drop? Because I feel like that happened, and she's only gone up from there.
Yeah, and I think the nuance is, if the people that are canceling you never listen to you in the first place, you'll be fine. And that's what happened with Doja Cat. That's what happened with a lot of artists. Honestly, I feel like every artist has been canceled at this point, at one point or another. Yeah. I realized I voted for a TERF for president by accident. We can talk about that later.
So if you actually, okay, well, anyway, Alex voted because he lives in the state of California for Gloria LaRiva, the candidate for the Party for Liberation.
Yeah, so I voted for Gloria LaRiva, but she's a TERF. So that's really disappointing. We can talk about that another day. But I guess I feel bad about, like, grandstanding and being like I hate J.K. Rowling when I literally voted for TERF for president. But it was an accident. I promise. It was an accident. But you know what?
Is she actually a TERF, or was it just, like, a, again, I feel like, because this is based off of a tweet, and, like, would she actually be TERF? You know, like, I feel like there's a lot of room for, like, misinterpretation on Twitter, and I don't want to smear Miss Reba's name.
Yeah, Joe Biden's probably a TERF, too, like, without the teleprompter.
No, remember when he got asked how many genders there were, and he was like, at least three.
Yeah. Well, they prepped him on that. I don't know. I don't know. We can have a discussion about the lesser of however many evils.
I'm trying to imagine like his is it his granddaughter who kind of wears like she wears the Jordans, like showing him Tumblr, and like yes, demisexual. Oh wait, that's not.
And then like, him, like trying to press the screen. You know how like when old people touch screens, like it doesn't work for some reason. Like it happens with my grandma. She touches the screen and it like doesn't register. I'm like, does it know she's like older? Like I don't understand. Like we are so like preternaturally able to like touch screens and have them be responsive, and like old people don't have that effect. I don't know. It's really interesting.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I always like to humble myself by reminding myself that, like, by the time that I'm 50, there will probably be something crazy. We'll be living in, like, a climate hellhole, but there will probably also be, like, some crazy technology that I just don't understand and just breaks my brain. And
so, after all this talk of, like, lockdowns and coronavirus and looking optimistically toward the future, we want to inspire everybody to have a hot boy, girl, whatever you identify as, summer. Not a white boy summer. We reject Chet Hanks here. But we want you to have an amazing summer. And this song sounds like summer, and it reminds us of COVID-free, happier time.
Are you going to say the name of the song? This is Slide, Calvin Harris, featuring Frank Ocean and the Migos.
And the Migos song is canceled, but we can't make the music not pop.
We can't make the music not pop. We're sorry, guys. We're sorry, guys. We try so hard. So here we go.
Some spotlight on
bought Bad Link. That was Slide. I know you know that song. I know you love that song. And if you don't love that song, see a doctor, like I said before. Finalmente, we're going to talk about our goods and our bads of the week. And like always, my good and my bad are the same thing because complexity, you know, everything's multifaceted. My good are my glasses. I got new glasses because my prescription was so freaking off. I was sitting in the chair and the optometrist was like, this is your old prescription. And I was like, you're joking. So I can finally see. That's a good thing. I was on the roads of Los Angeles driving half blind. My bad. Yeah, I was. I literally, anyway. My bad. Thank you, God, for keeping me alive. My bad is these glasses. I don't believe in human perfectibility and having to look at myself in ultra 4000K HD is really demoralizing. What's your good and bad, Jordan?
So I'm going to run through these real quick. Good, getting complimented in Zoom class. Because right now, I'm not really going outside, not really interacting with people, not getting to know people. This isn't, like, I'm in college, but it's whatever. So, you know, getting Zoom compliments takes on a special importance. And prior to the show, I was on a Zoom call with New York Times opinion writer, Elizabeth Brunek, and I asked the question, and she was like, that's a really, really, really good question. And that just made me feel wonderful, because I was like, damn, I'd be thinking, bad, vaccine misinformation. If somebody gets a vaccine and then dies a month later, please do not repost something saying that they died because of the vaccine. That is irresponsible. And we're trying to get out of this, people. Let's get out of this.
And we're also trying to get out the show and make room for Max and Beth. Tune into Abstract and wash away the jargon. Give it up for Abstract on Midwave Radio.